You can listen to this show on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Donnie Football in for a Football Friday. Joe Starkey enjoying the New Year's holiday. Austin Bechtold is here. So you got 2 out of 3 on a Football Friday. Austin is behind the glass. He's taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Want to take some more calls before we dive into a little numbers game. Maybe some thoughts on the college football playoff that is now into the semifinal round before we get to Nick Costos right around noon. But your calls at 412-928-9370. Our guy Seth in Long Island has been waiting patiently. What's up, Seth?
Hey, Happy New Year, Donnie. Happy New Year, Austin, man.
Thank you.
Are awesome, as I always tell you. Hope you guys have a fantastic year, man. So, hey, I am completely stoked for this game. There's no doubt. As a Steeler fan for decades, I'm completely stoked, and I hope that they come through with a victory, get to the playoffs, get the one win, and then, you know what, get the home game and get the win. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But there is change needed, and my change, gentlemen, would be to see – a 2025 offense so that you could run the, you know, play like the Rams, like some of these other teams, the Lions, where, you know, you get an offensive coordinator that really knows what the heck is going on. That's the only change I really want to see. The defense, it is what it is, but, you know, we're going to have to stay with that for a little bit. But thanks again, guys. Have a happy, man.
There we go. Seth from Long Island. It would be nice to just consistently have an offense that continues to adapt and evolve. Arthur Smith has had some good games this year, no doubt. Like, he's had some games where he has called some pretty creative stuff. He has worked with the pieces that they have on that side of the football. But then he's had games that completely fall flat. And they're coming off a game where they completely fell flat in Cleveland. 412-928-9370. Neil is next. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Donnie. Hey, Limits. You know, so I get sucked in. I've called you guys a few times over this season, and I get sucked in. It's easy to get sucked in, like the flip-flop, like me and Starkey, or like all of us. But, you know, everybody talks about Bradshaw to Ben. We didn't have a franchise, but guess what? I've seen 4 AFC championships when I was in fifth grade and you know, from 94 to 2001 before Ben. Like, I think that when it boils down to it, and we would all, I think the people in my boat would have been, we would all be where you're at, Donnie, or even more, if they didn't have, to me, the worst loss in franchise history against the Browns. Losing to Shedeur Sanders, a guy that, like, I was throwing passes like that in Pee Wee football, and they weren't good. That's why I wasn't the starter anymore. Like, it's just, I think that's what it is. I think it's Tomlin's arrogance, the national media making him be able to be so arrogant by putting him on this top five pedestal for 20 years when, meanwhile, I don't think he's a top five coach. I don't think he's ever been a top five coach in any one year, and maybe when they won Super Bowl 43 or when they went in 45, but it's just so bad. The Steelers, like Rooney, I just wonder what it would look like if Rooney was like his dad, you know, and was invested more. And, you know, maybe his son needs to step in, but he needs power taken away. If Tomlin needs to stay, he has to have power taken away to where, okay, we're going to hire your coordinator, you know, but who's going to hire him? Is Omar going to be allowed to hire him? Is Andy Whittle going to be allowed to hire him? Because I know Tomlin hired them, you know, so it's just like, who has all the power?
Yeah, Neil, I do think that's a few pieces of curiosity that people have. The point about, you know, how would the late Dan Rooney have handled this playoff drought compared to what and how Art Rooney II has handled it? I'm also held up on one of the comments he made there, Austin. Worst loss in franchise history.
No. There have been so many more examples of worst loss in franchise history.
It's a bad loss. a very bad loss. Don't get me wrong, but
think about AFC championships, like the Chargers in 94.
They were two touchdown favorites in that game.
Yeah, there are plenty of games that I can point to. The Jacksonville game is included in that. The Cleveland loss at home in the playoffs in 2020. There are so many games that can be considered worst loss in franchise history that that one is not even on the top of my mind.
We are going to talk to somebody that knows a thing or two about betting markets and lines for games, and they had it at a 3.5-point spread or a 3-point spread, I think, by the time the ball was kicked off on Sunday. So, yeah, that means if it was on a neutral site, the Steelers would be about a 6-point favorite in the game. But that is far from what their worst loss could be. I mean, a field goal spread, that's still pretty small. The NFL is a league where games like that happen way more often than we realize.
Yeah.
To the other teams that play. We just are so hyper-focused on the Steelers that it feels like it only happens to them. I mean, a team that was clicking pretty much on all cylinders on Monday night, they go into Atlanta and they lay an egg for three quarters, and then they almost come back.
I think the worst loss in NFL history might be Atlanta, 28-3 against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I am with the way the game started, I don't know how you lose that game, but they managed to do it.
So if we're talking nationally, worst loss of all time, that might be it. Would you consider the undefeated Patriots losing to the Giants as one of the worst losses of all time? I don't think so, because the Giants, I think at some points in that game, outplayed them.
Here's one that I think it was right around a 10-point spread going into the game. I bet you Colts fans still bring up when the Steelers went in there in the playoffs 20 years ago and beat them.
If it wasn't for the bent tackle.
And
Vander Jack's field goal.
Yeah, I mean, and the Steelers went into that game and they dominated. You know, it was kind of like some of the games we see even now. They dominated the game for three quarters, and then the Colts woke up and almost came back and won the football game. But, I mean, I would think that for Colts fans, they have to say that's one of the worst losses.
I'd say so.
Also, the Super Bowl III loss, certainly going to be up there.
The Colts had plenty.
To the Jets.
They had plenty.
They have a ton.
Especially with Peyton Manning there. All the times that they were a top seed or favored to go to the Super Bowl and they didn't.
The Chargers have the win over the Steelers in that AFC Championship game that we brought up. Now, there's a franchise that has a lot of bad losses. They had some great teams in the 2000s that always came up short.
Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson, Rivers. Man, when was the last time the Chargers were in the Super Bowl? 80s?
I don't even know if Fouts ever got there.
I thought he got there once. What am I saying? It was 94 when they beat the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got blown out by the 49ers.
Yeah, 49-26.
Yeah, we both completely had that go over our heads. They are a team, and funny enough, the quarterback that they had in that game is nowhere close to being one of the better quarterbacks that they had in franchise history. I had this conversation with somebody last week that the Chargers have to have like the best collective of QBs that have never won a Super Bowl with that team. You have Dan Fouts, you have Drew Brees, you have Philip Rivers, and now you have Justin Herbert.
How much can you count Brees, though?
Not a ton, but he was still there for some of those really good years of the 2000s that came up short.
Yeah. I think Herbert eventually is going to get one. Because he has Harbaugh. That's a deadly combination. Especially with Mahomes and that division right now. It seems like the Chiefs are taking a big step back. Denver will see how good Bo Nix is, but I think that I'd rather have the Harbaugh-Herbert connection than Sean Payton and Bo Nix. The Chargers could end up running that division for the next 5 years. It's possible. I'm not saying they will. You know, Mahomes is going to bounce back, but they have not drafted and developed well enough to be able to supplement a lot of pieces around him with how high of a contract he's being paid.
Let's have a little two-minute warning of a numbers game here, Austin, shall we? Very good touch with the music. I will start you with the number 20. The Steelers are 20-5 in their regular season finales since 2000. They are 11-1 at home in regular season finales.
Could I give you a number to add on to that, Donnie?
Sure.
The Steelers are 10-1 in regular season finales at home versus divisional opponents since the turn of the century.
That's a pretty good number.
How about that?
Austin, 98 is my number. That is the points off turnovers for the Steelers this season, only behind two teams, the Bears and the Jags.
I'll give you a number, Donnie. 3. The Steelers have lost 3 games at home this season and are 4-3 overall at Acrisure Stadium.
40. The Ravens held the ball for over 40 minutes last week. If that happens in this game on Sunday night, Pittsburgh is in a lot of trouble. They had the ball for 40 minutes and 16 seconds.
26. The Ravens ran 26 more plays than the Steelers did in the first meeting, yet the Steelers were the one that came away with a victory.
The Steelers have been on the wrong side of that stat pretty much all year.
Yeah, they're like 2 or 3 games they haven't. Yeah,
the Lions game was definitely one of them, yep, where they dominated the time of possession, but a lot of times this year they've run fewer plays. 11. The Steelers have led at halftime in 11 games this season, wow, tied for the second most in the league. They have managed to lose 4 of those,
wow,
games.
That's an elite number right there, Donnie. My number is 37.7. The Ravens offense is blitzed on 37.7% of their dropbacks. It's the highest in the NFL. The Steelers offense is only blitzed 22% of the time. So you might see Jalen Ramsey or a couple others coming off the edge to try to pressure Lamar.
8. Aaron Rodgers completed at just 8 passes out of 21 attempts for 60 yards on Sunday when targeting a wide receiver against the Browns. That's how dire things were for the Steelers' pass game.
100%. When the Steelers were in 12 personnel last week, great number for Matt Williamson, Adam Thielen and MVS played 100% of the snaps. When the Steelers were in 11 personnel with just one tight end, Scotty Miller played 100% of the snaps.
Oh, my God.
Just get ready, Donnie, for a lot of Scotty Miller, MVS, and Adam Thielen on the field this week with no DK Metcalf, but the potential return of Calvin Austin.
Scotty Miller has it really emerged as a piece in this offense. I got one more for you, Austin.
It's Miller time, Donnie.
And the number is 10, and I mean week 10. Lamar Jackson, since that point in the season, 2-time MVP Lamar Jackson, since week 10, has 4 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions.
Oh, my. And that's why you are a huge believer that Snoop Huntley should be the starter, which I think is insane, Donnie.
I mean, I myself felt insane saying it, suggesting it, but sometimes he gets into these games, and when he's dinged up, you know, we have seen him beat the Steelers and look good doing it. Don't get me wrong there. I think it's more about his health. We will find out more when we talk to Rob Long in a little bit over an hour. It's more about his health for me. And also, John Harbaugh won't get in his own head. He'll do the smart thing and just give the football to Derrick Henry.
So do you really think, and I know that history suggests it, that John Harbaugh is that stupid, and I don't think he is, to not give Derrick Henry the ball after what he did last week? Like, is he that tunneled in the game where he doesn't remember, hey, I have this Hall of Famer, all-time great running back that I should give the ball to, as long as he doesn't fumble, because we know how scared John Harbaugh gets after Derrick Henry fumbles by giving him the ball back, that they just won't try to rely on him with Lamar tampered?
But we've seen him do that at times, and it's bizarre.
I know. I mean, I can't make sense of it.
Like even that game that they played against the Patriots a few weeks ago, yeah, he had a good game. But then in, like, the final 12 minutes, they, like, went away from him. Why?
If I was John Harbaugh, or if I was, like, a staffer in the Ravens room this week, I would just put on tape of last year's wild card game and just say, hey, John, let's give it to this guy 30 times. They ran for, I don't know, 299 yards last year. Let's just try to do the same exact thing against the Steelers' run defense that isn't very good.
Yeah,
it's fine when Derek Carmen plays, but it's still not very good.
Yeah, that's just something I really I can't comprehend.